Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide and protect us in this day and in the coming days. Help us to stay faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our spiritual relation with God Jesus is most important, and physical preparation is good also. September is National Preparedness Month. This month, many people who we know, friends and family, are going through a time of loss and difficulty. I hope that your compassionate heart reaches out to those people. Say a prayer for them, and even if it is as brief as, "Father, give comfort to hurting people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen." There are some people who can do a lot more, and please have a sense of what God is calling you to do, and then faithfully do it. Examine your heart and your head. Use wisdom as you do good things for your family and friends and neighbors. Look what's going on around us. Well, I think of the biblical description of birth pangs. And that is where the pains become closer and closer together and have a greater and greater intensity. Are these those days? Well, many people sure think so. And many people will say, "Jesus is coming back soon. I can just feel it." That's what they say. And, well, I leave that discernment up to you, just as I leave the rapture question up to you, because theologians, people of intellect, have discussed this and had great debates about it. The timing of the rapture, and I think we ought to reflect on history each for our own self and look at what has gone on. We can see how God has loved so very many people, and they, in the past, have gone through exceedingly difficult times. Today, we can see the martyrs, well, all through history, where people are killed or starved individually or by the thousands. And that is intentionally done because of their faith. Yeah, and even if you look back in our history to the pilgrims, half of the pilgrims died as they were establishing America. Yes, there are difficult times, and God allows us to go through difficult times. Another example of them are in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. A lot of people have gone through so much difficulty. So many people will go through a time of difficulty. That's life. And maybe right in front of us there's another time of difficulty. And if that's so, we can be a little prepared for it. Now, I remember on the last broadcast of Christ Today, I talked about how vulnerable each of us can be as people and how each one of us... Well, we are the body of Christ, but we do want to have preparations for ourselves and our family and others. And look at how it just in society, in a normal life, how independent we all are from each other. And what a life change it would be if we had to depend on other people. That might be a good thing. It might draw us closer together as a family and as a community, as even as a country, sure. So we would think of all the things that we would miss from life today. I know I sure think of the things I do. I think about going to the grocery store, for instance. What if we couldn't go to the grocery store every few days? What if we had to live on the things in our refrigerator and our pantry? It would be really tough. And that's a part of why I think about preparedness, because we really don't have the means to stay independent for very long. We are so dependent on the system that we live in. And there are numerous ways that it could fail. So think about that preparedness thing. Think about 3 days of water and food. That's what so many people and agencies, government agencies, are recommending. 3 days of water and food. Do you have 3 gallons of water in your home? Because it's possible that water would stop. In my lifetime, it has several times. And you're just out of water for maybe a half a day, maybe a day or two. It's really inconvenient. So we have to just think about these things and how we can be prepared for the just in case. So we do want to think about emergencies, because they do happen. And as I think about the people who have gone through an emergency, a time of trouble, some sort of a difficulty, they say that we need more than 3 days of water and food. As I have talked to first responders, they say we need more than 3 days of water and food. It seems like there's a strong uniform thought of 2 weeks of water and food is about right until some sense of normality returns. And water is so absolutely essential to every day of life. We need water, and we take it for granted so much because it so easily comes out of our water faucets. But what if it did not come out of that water faucet? It's unlikely, yes, but it surely can happen. And for instance, the water district could stop pumping if there was a great disruption in our electrical service. You think about water, and you probably have heard lately that there are several mayors of large cities who have talked about the churches in their cities not following the required mask mandates. And they are allowing groups to be in a church together, even to sing. And so those mayors are talking about cutting off the electricity and the water to those churches who are not enforcing government mandates to stay 5 feet apart and to wear a mask. And well, you might just consider that there would be a certain, call it an attack if you want, a certain requirement on churches. And what are we going to do if we face that? I just wonder. I just wonder, too, why those same government enforcers are not enforcing these things upon the demonstrators and the rioters. They could stop things. They could put blockades in the street. They could stop the cell phone services. They could put water cannons to stop the rioters. There's things that could be done. But, of course, I guess they call them demonstrators, not rioters. Apparently they have more rights than people who want to go to church. And besides, isn't it easier to pick on compliant Christians? Yes, it is. And There's lots of things that we can be aware of, but so often we don't take the extra steps to look. Oh, take the face masks, for instance. There's so many studies who say that they are not effective, not the N95 and not a cloth mask. So, and for those masks, people are rewearing them, and so the bacteria that we breathe stays in those masks, and they even deliver less oxygen to our body, which creates a certain sense of habit, of panic. So I know one thing I think of when I see masks around is you cannot see people's human expression. You cannot see a human identity behind the mask. And I'm concerned about that anonymous part of a mask. If we don't have a personal identity, then we are not inclined to be treated as a person. And so people are inclined also to not treat other people with individual human dignity. Well, I think we all have to look into this question and try to understand our position within it, because we are to love one another. And to love a person is so much easier to do than to love a masked individual. Well, you just think about those things and remember how we want to be faithful to God, and love other people. It's a part of what we do as Christians. And during this process, we do need to protect our mind and our heart and keep godly thoughts and godly desires in our minds and in our hearts. And today there's so many people who have other ungodly thoughts in their hearts and their mind. So often it's selfishness, greed, the want for things, and then people's morals get corrupted. They might want to break into a store and steal things because they want them. And that's just one of those things that we have to be aware of. There's plenty of people like that. And we want to encourage people to have a godly mindset, worldview. That's what we want. We want to discourage personal greed and business greed. And yes, indeed, greed happens at every level. You think about the corporations, well, I do, and I think about how there are executives, you might call them CEOs, and they want to increase the corporate product profits so that they have the executives, they have, especially the CEO, has a stock option, and he can sell that stock option when the company is doing better. So he makes his company look good by having more profit. And in the short term, the way he makes profit is by eliminating employees. So if the company doesn't have to pay people, they get more money in their bottom line. So that is a part of human greed and corporate greed that we deal with. There is also greed on another level, and that is what we see. Oh, for instance, with the Federal Reserve, that's at one of the highest levels. They have created an instability by creating so many dollars out of thin air. In effect, it is on a computer screen that they create dollars. And I think of Amstel Rothschild, who in 1893 or right in there said, "Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes the laws." Right, because we all have to depend on money, businesses do and nations do, just like we individuals. Well, regardless of who said it or when it was said, we do know that there are ways of manipulating, well, everything, including society. And the House of Rothschilds was quite familiar with that. They manipulated a lot of things in the world. And it's said that they still are a major economic force behind every economic entity. So many things are concealed. Concealed. You think of the Federal Reserve or other central banks, and they are concealed about, for instance, who owns them. There are about 190 central banks in the world, and there are about 195 countries. And so you see, almost every country has a central bank, and almost every central bank is privately owned. And that ownership is a big secret, and that includes the ownership of the Federal Reserve. It is... It's tangled up so that you can't really see who owns things in the Federal Reserve, but it is a private corporation. So it has been that way ever since its beginning, since 1913. If you want a good history of the Federal Reserve, you could read the book The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. It's about 25 years old now, but it's still a popular book, and it still tells the history and the beginnings of our United States Federal Reserve, which is not a branch of the United States. It is a private corporation. Well, the Federal Reserve, does things privately because they are a private corporation. And in 1994, I did hear references to a plunge protection team, and it apparently has been a group of men who made it so the stock market would not crash, and it was created in about 1987, and it continues today, but again, it's not talked about. It's a secret thing. All those things are kept from the public. They're secrets. And these things all point to manipulation. The Federal Reserve, how it has a desk, and that allows them, a trading desk, and that allows them to trade directly in the New York Stock Exchange. But where's the proof? We don't have the proof. We don't know because it's private. But there are indications we get, and we try to figure these things out and understand how things are being manipulated. And we do see the manipulation, but we try to understand it. We don't have knowledge of it. We just try to understand. One of the things, examples of it that I sometimes think of is paper gold and physical gold. The New York Stock Exchange has the price of gold. And if you want to buy gold, that's pretty close to the price. However, that is so manipulated because one man who studied this said that for every 1 ounce of gold in existence, there are 356 ounces of gold by paper agreements. So it's gold on paper, but not physically. It's just amazing with that kind of ability to manipulate the market. We don't have true values. And I remember there was another financial man who said that no, it was more like 3,000 ounces for every 1 ounce of physical gold. But you know what? Secrets. There are secrets, and we people do not know, but we can look at the hints and try to figure it out. By the way, for the silver market, it's about the same. Precious metals are manipulated. So is the stock market. Oh, and speaking of the stock market, just last week, there were two huge transactions. How does it happen that Warren Buffett can sell 800 million shares of Apple on the stock market? He did it through his Berkshire Hathaway company. How does that happen? Or how about Jeff Bezos? Again, last week, he sold $3.1 billion of Amazon stock. $3.1 billion of stock? Who bought that? Well, again, I say, look at the manipulation. Look and try to figure it out. Well, there's questions in life, and we get to figure out what they mean and how we can interact with as much as we can understand. We can try to understand it. I remember once when I was young, I tried to look at those stocks too, and I tried my hand in it. It was not successful for me. Well, it wasn't a failure either, but I could see that I don't know who can win trading stocks. I just don't know. You have to have inside information, and little people like us don't have that. I did go to school to learn things, though. I learned at the School of Hard Knocks. Even though I have a university degree, there's some things we just have to learn by going through through life. And sometimes college helps and sometimes it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't, I'm getting to think. Anyway, I urge you to look around and see what you can understand. There are a lot of people in the world who tell you a lot of different things. And it doesn't mean it's true. It means you question it. So many things we question and try to understand. Sometimes we are entertained by the things that go on in life. Sometimes a salesman might tell us something, and we are so entertained by what he tells us, we buy his product. I know that's happened to me. You do that with what you can afford to lose. And sometimes it's you're glad you did it, and sometimes you're not. There is a certain amount of human, I guess you would call it manipulation, that just goes on with everyday life. I remember a man who always made sure that he had a really, really pretty girl on his arm when he went places. And he treated her like a queen, just so wonderfully. And he never touched her. He never kissed her. He just wanted to have a really pretty girl on his arm for that event. So things like that happen. Oh, the world is full of things that are kind of surprises. They kind of are and they kind of aren't. Well, it's just life. Well, we think about the things that are going on around us, and we can sure see the blessings, the wonderful things, and don't forget them, because they are just as real as the troubles that we see. It's just the troubles get our attention because they're usually immediate. And I guess we see things. I know in my life I've seen people going hungry or being cold, and that's mostly in other countries, but also in this country. And those are the things that I think about as to what we can do to avoid a situation that we don't want to be in. We don't want to be hungry. We don't want to be cold. And we want to have some things on hand. And again, this is National Preparedness Month, so it's the right time to think about it. You do want to do something for you, for your family, for other people. That's just what we want to do. I remember 30 years ago, there was a retired friend of mine who was distributing food to the poor. And we talked a lot about it. And I asked him a lot of questions. And I found out that at that time, 30 years ago, most people would not cook their food. They didn't know how to cook beans or rice. Well, maybe they did, but they were unwilling. And so the food that he distributed to the poor was pre-cooked food, or food that you could just dunk into water, boiling water, and cook. And I just thought that was interesting that people don't know how to cook vegetables and legumes. I thought, wow, if we could give away the vegetables, that would keep our population healthier. But he said, no, people wouldn't do it. And that was 30 years ago. I don't know how it is today, but I know a lot of people eat out, and they eat fast food, and I just don't know the answer to it. But I wonder what would happen if we did have a kind of a crash in society and we had to make our own food. You know, that one of the things I think about with my preparedness is to have grains, because grains last and last and last. So a grain grinder, the grains, especially rice, beans, and sugar and salt. Wheat. Wheat is a big one, because I think of wheat as making the bread that we're used to. And you can also sprout wheat. I think wheat is so good. Or if you want the parent of wheat, which is spelt. Well, get those things in your basic preparedness, wherever you keep them, whatever you do, and have flavorings. Have a cast iron pot to cook it in, because we, with a lid, because we need the iron from the pot in our diet. So have a plan and think about all the things, especially things, legumes, beans and lentils. Oh, all of it. Think of all of it. And a water filter. Water is so very important. Well, there's threats that we all have to evaluate, and we all do that differently and separately. And we all come up with a different idea, and that's good, because we don't know what will happen. Now, I know there's things that could happen, and I talk about them, because we could have a solar mass ejection, CME, a coronal mass ejection, just any time. And that's something that could happen. We could have an electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear bomb or an accident. Those things have happened also, and they can happen again. We could have an earthquake. There's just reasons to have the plain old basic things we need. A water filter and food. Yes, for just in case. It's not very much to do when you figure out how much good it would do you in the event of an emergency. And, of course, I think of National Preparedness Month, so that's what I want to talk about now, today, to have the basics, the things that we need to get by, the things we need to live. So many people think of other things, and that's good, too. Think of those other things. Maybe think of a hammer and nails, a screws, and a screwdriver. Yes, all of them. They're all good. A few sheets of plywood, definitely. Those are all things that we can use in a certain event. But food is the most basic need, and that's why I talk about it so much. Always you can get my free preparedness brochure, and that is send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927, and I'll get that to you. I'll give that information at the end of the broadcast also. But I do think of the things around us. I think of earthquakes, especially here in California. We know earthquakes, but our United States Geological Survey has looked at earthquakes, and they say that we are overdue for an earthquake. Here in California, it's overdue for the San Andreas. It's overdue for the Cascadia subduction zone. And on the eastern part of the United States, the earthquake for the New Madrid Fault is overdue. So you just have to weigh these things for yourself and recognize that there's not going to be the cavalry come and rescue you. For one thing, our government and our Red Cross does not have hardly any supplies waiting to help. No, they have to purchase them, and then they have to get them delivered. All these things take time, take money, and if you have an emergency, you need something right then. So you will want to get your emergency things as soon as possible. And that means now. Now, when they are available, think about what you need. And that thought process will help you to understand what it is you will find most important and what you want to actually have on hand. Earthquakes, they are real things. They are real and they can happen anytime. They're overdue. We know what they have done in the past. I mean, we think about the one in the Bay Area and one in Los Angeles, and they knocked down overpasses. Those ones were the Rock Ridge earthquake and the other one were about 7.0. And the ones that are expected for especially the Cascadia subduction zone is a 9 to a 9.5. And the difference between those two, between about 7 and 9.0 or 9.5, is the difference between 15 seconds of rocking, shaking of the earth, and 4.5 to 5 minutes shaking of the earth. So we want to talk about how the overpasses fell down over our freeways for those 15 to 20 seconds of shaking. Just think what a 4.5 to 5 minutes of shaking would do. And isn't that enough to motivate you to get your preparedness supplies ready? Yes, it surely ought be. Yeah. There's things that can happen. Also, we're seeing fires now. There's other things that could happen. Of course, a volcano could go off any time. There's 30-some of them going on right now in the world, active. But all we need is one big one, and that would change our climate for sure. It would put a layer of ash all over the world. Well, in parts of the world. What it really does is it puts ash into the atmosphere, and it keeps the sun from shining to the earth and growing the crops. And that way we would not have some foods, because plants need the sun to grow. And so we just have things happening. We need to be prepared. One other thought about preparedness is what would happen if the United States accelerates a peace or has an active part in a peace plan that divides Israel. I have heard plenty of people say over the years that if the United States divides Israel, then America will physically be divided. And you think of an earthquake that would divide the United States? I think of the New Madrid fault. But there's other ones too. It's just a great big question. There has been a peace plan lately. It's been proposed by President Trump, and it has gone on with the aid of Jared Kushner. And a senior-level State Department person describes this plan as a two-state solution. And 2 days ago, a couple of days ago, two Arab states and Israel signed this agreement. It was with Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain. They agreed to normalize relations with Israel. And a part of that agreement, it might be a secret agreement, has been, I'm afraid it might be, to divide Israel into two states. I don't know. We don't know some of the things that have gone on, but we do know that secret agreements are made. They have happened just plenty. Israel has made secret agreements, and one of them was with the oil pipeline, a 42-inch oil pipeline that came from Iran. Now, that was, what, 15 years ago? I'll have to think about that one. But there was a secret deal that nobody knew about until this month. Well, us ordinary people didn't know about it. I'm sure other people did. But we ordinary people did not know. So things go on. We'd have to be really careful with what we hear and what we believe in every aspect of life. But we see things going on with Israel, and we know Israel is prophetically God's timepiece, so there's things going on. There are things going on, and oh, I know a lot of people still think about the blood moons of 2014 and 2015. That is an indicator. Sure, historically, it has been a big indicator. We could be right on the edge of some very significant things happening in the Middle East. But the blood moons is a discussion by themselves. Still, we can recognize that there is something going on, and we can be aware of it. Yes, please be aware of it, because it does affect our life. All these things, even though we are so far away, if we're a part of that peace process, yes, it will affect us. And it is, and we as a nation are a part of that peace process. So think of the implications for us of the world to the world, and there's just, I hope that makes you want to get prepared even more. There's a serious talk that these peace negotiations are including that all the holy sites in Jerusalem should be open for peaceful worshipers of all faiths. All faiths means Christians and Muslims can go places. Jews can go to the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, you know, the great big golden domed one that the Muslims control now. So there are points of contention everywhere, and it could be a very explosive situation. We have to see where things will go. But we could be facing a very long string of events where suddenly things just explode. It could happen. And that's a part of what we need to get prepared for, too. We in the United States of America have been isolated for such a long time from the events of the world. But didn't 9/11 show that we're not? 19 years ago, the two trade towers came down. And the third building, Building 49-story building, it came down even though it was not hit by a plane. So things are going on. And I think we have to remember that our world has a lot of uncertainties in it, and we might not be able to depend on the normal channels of supply. And that means let's get supplied ourselves and have our preparedness things put into a separate little room, store some, well, I always say grains, but we can look at our budget and do whatever makes sense to you. There are always more expensive options, but I like grains because they are affordable and they keep their nutrition because they are a whole grain. And you do have to grind them. So remember your wheat grinder, or even two wheat grinders. You can make bread, you can make porridge, you can make dinner items with it. Anyway, I'm a big advocate of grains, because they last and last. Thinking back a little bit, I think about David Wilkerson, because he spoke prophetically about a worldwide economic collapse that would start in Germany, spread to Japan, and then to the United States. And lately there has been Deutsche Bank of Germany in the financial news, and it has been talked about for years as being unstable and having, oh, all sorts of troubles. But the troubles continue, and that's the way it is right now, today. Troubles continue for Deutsche Bank. Their assets and liabilities are so close to equal that they could have a bankruptcy anytime if there is a panic. One of the things that they are invested in is derivatives. And what is a derivative? A derivative is when an asset derives its value from something else. So it doesn't have its own value. I think one good example of this that I can think of is if you are familiar with a home loan, a bank holds that loan, and that loan is secured by the home. So there's a real asset behind that loan. But if that bank sells a few hundred home loans to another bank, well, there still is an asset behind it, but it is not a direct link. That makes it a derivative, because if you're selling loans, the value of the loan is derived from something else, which is a physical property. Those kind of things explain the derivatives and why they are dangerous, because the bank that owns the derivatives do not own the property. And to get to the physical security, it takes some time in the court system or through the process. And that makes bankruptcies so easy to happen with derivatives. We try to understand, and we get a little understanding, and that's how it all comes together. Well, I think of the banks, and that makes me think of that Pastor Dana Coverstone. And about a month and a half ago, he had that dream where he saw bank roofs removed, blown off, taken off, and paper money blowing around in the streets like it had no value. I think we can listen to prophetic people and prophetic dreams and visions. I think it's good to do, and I do talk about them sometime, but I think it's also good to recognize that it is not the Word of God. It is not the Bible. And the Bible is what we have to put our true understanding in, not a dream, not a vision. But again, in the Bible, it says that young men will have visions and older men will have dreams. So it's still okay, I think, to listen and see what lines up with biblical truth. I do think of Dana Coverstone and his dream and how it was so impressive to hear "brace yourself." And I talked about other people who had used those very same words in their dreams. Brace yourself. Brace yourself, brace yourself, is what Dana Coverstone heard. And that is for a short time now, so it makes me think of get prepared, get prepared, get prepared. Take this into your heart and head and examine it, and if you feel the truth of it, then please take those steps. I think it's a good idea for you to do something. See, Another thing about those prophetic dreams is I've had this caution for a few decades now, but I've heard people from 20 years ago, more or less, talking. They talked in prophetic terms and said they had a prophetic dream or vision, and that they were seeing these same kind of things happening. So it makes me pay a little more attention or a lot more attention to it, but I still don't know the timing, except Dana Coverstone, pastor in Kentucky. He did have timing, and we'll just have to see what we see. But I think there's things that could be going on very serious right in our very own backyard. In fact, they are. Look at the fires. Look at the riots. Look at the chaos, lawlessness, all of it. It is going around, and there are people who want to destroy this land and destroy the church, God's Christian church. Yes, in this country, and yes, in this world. All while people are crying peace and safety. No. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So where are we with that? Could be any time. And that's something worth looking at. To look at the events going on around us and try to figure out if now is the time. Is now the time? And you think about all the people who think now is the time on both sides of the spiritual issue. People in the United Nations say that now is the time with their 2020 agenda and their 2030 agenda. They're trying so hard to control the world, to control every last medical pill, every last treatment, to put an identity tag on every chicken and every cow and every person. That is their plan, and they take steps slowly to fulfill their plan, and that's what they're doing. So where's your plan? Do you have a plan to survive that? Do you have a store of food, a way to purify your water, clean your water up? Well, I hope you do. And I hope you have several months of food in your pantry to get you through something. And I don't know what it is. But we all have needs in life every day. And of course, we have eternal life. We have to prepare for that, and that is with our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You have to have that. Otherwise, other things just aren't so meaningful. By all means, seek God first, and then other things, good things will come to you. We do get warnings all over the place, and they are. Can you see the chaos around us? This is another warning I think of. There was a bill in Congress, H.R. 666. Well, it's really H.R. 6666. But it just, there's a similarity. So I laugh at it. Anyway, that House of Representatives bill, which is Congress, is about mandatory testing for vaccines for everyone, for the coronavirus. Yes, and that's one of the things that is moving ahead, but we still don't know what'll happen. Yet, President Trump has endorsed the Operation Warp Speed, and that is a plan to immunize 100 million people in November, 100 million people in December, and 100 million people in January. We'll see if it really happens, but we do have to know that these are things that are going on right around us, right now. Operation Warp Speed and the Congressional Bill, H.R. 6666. What a coincidence, huh? Do these numbers mean anything? Yeah, I think they just might. There's kind of a play that the dark side likes to do with numbers. They have secret codes in numbers. So, well, we'll just see. It reminds me of vaccines being safe and effective, yes, and it reminds me of the Nazi minister of propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, and he said, "Big lies are far easier to believe than little lies." Oh, I don't know. Do your own research and figure out if vaccines are safe and effective. I always urge everyone to look into the vaccine question, because the what they contain is astounding. I mean, the flu shot contains thimerosal. Thimerosal is a preservative that is 49% mercury. And then there's all sorts of enzymes and adjuvants which accelerate the reaction. And now there's RNA put into the vaccines too that will interact with your DNA. And once they combine, they can't be taken out. That's one of the things which every one of us want to research for ourselves, because it makes a difference for our children and our grandchildren. If it gets into your DNA, it never gets out. So we are, don't forget this, we are wonderfully made. How can we improve on wonderfully made? That's what one of the Psalms says. But are we wonderfully made, or do we want to improve upon the body and mind that God has given us? Well, I think about Hosea 4:6 also. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So look up these things for yourself. Look at the ingredients in vaccines. Don't believe somebody who tells you something. Look it up for yourself. And then please do look up all the words that you don't understand, which will be most of them. Just like I did not understand most of them, I had to look them up too and find out that they were derived from all sorts of animals. There's a mixture of enzymes and DNA from all sorts of animals, cows, chickens, all sorts of things. But I didn't mean to get into that subject. It's just something which you just can't believe unless you actually look it up for yourself. If you hear somebody tell you about it, it just sounds too fantastic to be imagined, and you can't think that it's really real. And that's why I say, look it up for yourself. Do these things for yourself, because you are the only person that is responsible for you and your eternal life. Don't forget that. There's some pretty significant events that could be coming around any time now. We know that. Times could get easier, and times could get pretty rough. We don't know what's coming, but we can see the signs. We can see that there are plans to contain and control all the people. We can see the number of people who for 30 years or longer have talked about the world being overpopulated and most of the world has to die. I mean, there really are people who say that. There are people who've said that publicly. That's another subject, and only a few minutes left, so I'm not going to talk about that. But I'm going to tell you to look for yourself and to be prepared, because so much of our nation does not have any preparation. Most people don't. And if you want to make sure that you stay alive, you will need food and water, water and food. Take your pick on what you choose and what you can afford. If there was one good answer, we wouldn't have different people with different answers. But have a look and see what you want to do for your preparedness measures. See what you can afford. See what things cost and where you would put it. there's just a lot of things that you can do. You can do it for 3 weeks, like I said, or 3 months. You can do 3 years of grains. It's all possible. You just have to have a plan. Now, most people don't have that kind of space or money available. And I tell you, even $20 is a start. You can get white rice and beans and sugar and salt and oil and a few 1 gallon containers of water for $20. You can start. You can do something. I know it's not enough, but what is enough? Do we know that answer? No, we don't. But you can do something. So please do. Do something. We don't know what the times are. Are we in the days of Noah? We just might be. Are we in the days of Joseph when there was a seven-year famine? Or are we in the days of Elijah when there was he got a meal from a starving widow and her son? We don't know, but we can always do something. Look at Bible history or look at human history. All sorts of things happen. And we could still have things happen today. There are fires, but there can be other natural disasters. There can be man-made disasters. There can be political struggles and bureaucratic complications. So just think about things you can do to be prepared for that just in case. Pray for God's wisdom and his grace and his love to be around you. And we can get through it. We can get through it with loving people and them loving us, loving God, God loving us, and it's all a part of what is important to us. We need to return to Christ. That reminds me of Jonathan Cahn's return. He's having that event in Washington, D.C. Next week. So I hope you pray for that, because we want Christians to return to Jesus Christ. There's so many prayer needs. Think about them and remember to pray. This broadcast can be heard again on www.christtoday.org. And that's all lowercase, no spaces. And you can get my preparedness brochure by sending a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Shine your light, shine your light.